Hi, and welcome to Becoming Less, an Edmontonian journey to less waste, less impact, less consumption, and less clutter. Becoming Less is brought to you by Waste Free Edmonton, and together we're dedicated to waste reduction efforts, big and small. I'm Biz, and today I brought my sister Tracy on. Hi, Tracy.
Hi, Biz.
How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
The reason that I invited Tracy on is because we both came up with the same business potential idea at the same time. The same but different. So
without even talking about it.
Yeah, together. Without even talking to each other about it. And we just like, hey, no, I want to do that too. So our brilliant business idea is?
Well, I have a dog grooming business and I have a retail section that's been very empty. And I've been trying to decide how I want to fill it for a long time. And I keep falling back to the idea that I'd like to open a thrift store that is strictly pet supplies or consignment or secondhand pet supplies, basically.
Right. And so I came up with basically the same idea, except for sewing. So I wanted to have a sewing themed thrift store. And I thought it was kind of brilliant that both of us came up with this idea at the same time, but separately. Why aren't themed thrift stores a thing? Like, I don't know. Why isn't this everywhere?
I mean, not a thing. They do exist, but they aren't very common. I mean, obviously, women's consignment stores you'll see fairly regularly. So that's typically women's clothing and accessories only. I know in various places in the U.S. there are themed thrift stores or other different types of consignment. I mean, when you think about it, like auto parts.
That is true.
That's fairly common.
Guess I never really thought of that as a thrift store. Maybe I'm just using a different term than, but it's the same sort of thing.
Yeah.
Like a pick and pull. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah. So you walk in, you find what you need if it exists there and make a deal and you go home with your part. So it's not unheard of. It's just not as common in other areas, but they do exist. But I have not yet found, even Googling, a pet store themed thrift shop.
Yeah. The closest thing I've found to a sewing themed thrift store is this business called Fab Cycle in Vancouver, who takes extra fabric from manufacturers that never sold and then sells it for cheaper on their website. So it's like the overstock and stuff that might have otherwise been thrown out, but only because, not because it's old or used, but because it's just didn't sell as well as they were hoping. And so they still had extra. That's the closest thing I found. Yeah, I'm like, there are tons of people out there who have closets or rooms full of fabric that they're just storing and not using. And I know so many people who are like, I want to de-stash, I want to de-stash. But then there's other people who are like, no, I don't want to take on your stash because I have my own stash to get rid of. Like, people have extra fabric that they want to get rid of. And then people are also constantly buying new fabric. So what if they just had the option of going somewhere where everything, like a clothing swap, but permanent, except a fabric swap, but permanent, somewhere they could go whenever they wanted to just check out what's available that is already out there.
Right. And I think it's beneficial to know that, like, you go to a typical thrift store, one of the big stores, the big name stores, and you browse and you have fun and it's neat to see what treasures are in there. But there's a small amount of everything. And so when you're like, oh, you know, I'm specifically looking for sewing stuff, craft stuff, dog stuff, whatever it is, and you have to go to six stores and you might find half a dozen items and you got to pick from those specific items, it's not as exciting, I think, when as if you had a place you could go to and just browse, and you know it's all the stuff that you're interested in or you're looking for. And again, it's still the fun of that hunt of, ooh, let's see what's there today, because it changes. It's going to change every day or every week or whatever.
Right, because...
And there's something exciting about that thrift store people love. And I'm looking forward to seeing those people come in and being like, oh my God, this is a thing, without having to spend hours scrolling through Marketplace or whatever to find something they happen to be kind of looking for.
Yeah. And the other thing that a lot of people don't realize about thrift stores is most of them actually throw everything that hasn't sold within like 6 or 8 weeks. They just chuck it anyway. So a lot of times things that end up in a thrift store, if they don't sell right away, like let's say, for example, pet supplies, a kennel, for example. Kennels are very useful things that are fairly sturdy and I imagine would last a long, long time. But if it ends up at a thrift store and no one buys it for 6 weeks, it gets chucked, even if 2 weeks later someone comes looking for a kennel. I don't know if your business model would cycle through. I plan, when and if this ever comes to fruition, to have a no-tossing policy involved. How that ends up looking is yet to be seen, obviously, because I haven't had to deal with it yet. But I don't plan on just throwing things out after 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. I guess I never really thought about that. I thought about stock, because I do have a few things currently, like some collars and leashes and shampoos and whatnot that I have on display in my store right now. It's a very small amount of stuff and it's all brand new stuff, but most of it's been sitting there for a very long time. And I do sell the odd item, but I also don't advertise myself as a store at this point. So I've thought about that, like, well, what do you do when stuff doesn't sell? But I think the nice thing about thrift or consignment store is that if you don't sell, you can donate it to, how many animal charities are out there? There's so many. Mm-hmm. The shelters, the rescues, they're always going to need stuff for all kinds of different animals. And I would say, I don't know if I'd give 6 to 8 weeks, it'd probably sit there a while longer, but if it gets to the point where it's like, okay, clearly no one is going to buy this, can a shelter use it? Can a rescue use it? Maybe I know one of my clients who just, you know, they're a good client and they come in and their dog's harness is half ripped and you send them home with one from the store that hasn't sold in 6 months, you know, and be like, here, whether they choose to use it or go buy a new one or whatever, they can always donate it back. There's lots of options. I think it has a lot of benefits for finding ways to actually get the products used.
And as a business owner, I think you can feel a little bit better about that because you haven't really invested the money into the product, because most of the time these would be donations, right?
Yes and no, maybe. Because, I mean, I've thought about that too. Because you go to a thrift store and I've noticed there's usually a very tiny amount of pet supplies there compared to like plates and cups or, you know, used clothing or whatever. And anytime I looked for something used for myself, you know, I do usually find it on a Kijiji site or a marketplace or whatever. And they typically, I think my biggest obstacle will be that a lot of people don't mark the items down a lot on those sites. And so I'm not seeing people just giving away a lot of quality stuff. It probably will be a pretty good balance between consignment and donation thrift shopping.
Yeah. I honestly think that most of what I would get would probably be like elderly quilters who passed away and their family just needs to get rid of all of their sewing stuff.
Yeah. And that could go with me as well. Like, this really is new, uncharted territory for me. I have no real experience in this industry, but...
Yeah, that's fair. Me either.
Yeah, I mean, there will definitely be a donation bin and maybe some sort of incentive to donate, Yeah, I imagine it'll probably be a lot of me finding good deals on items already.
Mm-hmm.
And reselling them in that store environment.
Yeah. Sewing also doesn't just have to include fabric. So I think that a lot of machines, like a pick and pull style sewing machine graveyard, could just have available parts for from old machines for people to fix their old machines, because you can have two broken machines and together they create one functioning one, and at least keep some of those old sewing machines going for longer if possible. That would also be included. Very excited about this. I feel like this just fits all my skills and my values very well. And I'm going to do it. Dang it. I will.
That's kind of where I'm at too, where I'm like, I've been thinking about just, oh, I'll just get a loan and I'll invest in retail and I'll start some sort of store. And every time I think about it, I get kind of like this knot in the pit of my stomach. Like all these new items ship in and they're all individually packaged and they're all, you know, there's just so much waste. There's so much opportunity for you to order things that don't sell. And I just feel like it's really a dying model in a way. Like I realize there's always going to be a market for new things.
Well, I would like to see new things go back to actually being focused on longevity and quality and not just how crappy can we make this and still make the consumer buy it again when it dies.
Right? Yeah. And I hate that. And, you know, there are things like a good wire crate is going to last a long time. So buying a new one is not necessarily the worst thing you could do. But at the same time, you know, if you can get one that's in just as good a shape for half the price and it's still going to last just as long, why not? And I think there is something to be said about being like, oh, you know, we got to get this dog a crate. He's destroying my living room. And just being able to run to the store and get it. And knowing there is a local store that probably will have a crate for you that's not brand new off the line at a giant box store where you're not supporting anybody but big corporations. So I'm excited about that.
And with that, with donations or getting your good deals off people or what, or consignment or whatever, all these products would be local products. So you're keeping that economy local yet again. So you're saving on shipping, both emissions and money, and you're keeping stuff within your own community, which I think is really nice too.
Yeah, I've always loved the idea of finding something that somebody else no longer needs and being able to now love that item and give it another chance. And I know I'm not the only one out there, so I'm just hoping, you know, people see the value in pet supplies that way.
On the topic of these themed thrift stores sort of idea, it had occurred to me when I was at the gym and I left my water bottle in the spin classroom, and I went back a few days later and I was like, hey, did anyone turn in my water bottle? And they bring out this big bin full of water bottles. And I was like, huh, I wonder, I bet, you know, like they keep the water bottles for like 30 days or 60 days or whatever. They probably just chuck them. But what if after their 30 days or 60 days or whatever, they put them out for sale in a gym where people need water bottles and they can just get a used one for like $2. The gym makes money off of the water bottles and saves them from becoming garbage when they're perfectly good bottles. This could be a thing.
No, it totally could. And it could work in a lot of areas and a lot of departments. Yeah, I totally see the benefit in that mindset of how can we make more money and do good in this world and whatever. Or even if it's free water bottles, like if they're going to throw them out anyway, why not offer? I mean, how hard is it to take a water bottle home, throw it in your dishwasher, and voila, you have a water bottle. And so I think that's a great idea. And I wish more businesses would think that way.
Yeah, I know. Like, we just can't keep doing business as usual. And I think that this is an avenue where people could, I'm not even saying the entire store has to be that thrift consignment secondhand idea, but why can't there always, like, why can't there be a section, you know? Like, oh, right. Yeah, we do have some used bits in the back. They're over in this section here. Here's your corner of, like, I don't know. I feel like that should almost be normal. Like, if you don't need something anymore, you take it back to the place that sells these things and they can have a section of things that they sell like that so that, you know, oh, do you have any used ones? Oh, yeah, they're over in this section.
I have thought about the impact it will have on my salon, because I'm not the cheapest place. I don't know if I want to say, like, I'm probably not the fanciest either, but I'm not, how do I describe it? I guess it sort of has this model of being kind of
posh.
Yeah, posh isn't quite the right word, but
upscale.
Upscale. Okay, yes, that's probably the best word. Upscale, just better quality, you know, and then so people go and they're like, ooh, I'm going to this fancy place to get these fancy spa services for my dog, and there's a whole bunch of used junk in the corner.
Well, I mean, you don't have to. Okay, A, that is going to be very dependent on your marketing strategy.
Right.
Right. And in your, and honestly, like, consignment is a much fancier, more upscale term than thrift. So it could just be in your wording.
Right. And yeah, so that's something that, again, it's not deterring me. I've had to think about that. Like, all right, how do I mesh the two? Like, I definitely want to continue to sell, you know, the shampoo products I use and the things that I love to use. And they're higher end. That's probably the word I was looking for. Like, high end supplies, high end brushes and combs, things that professionals use. So it's like, oh, here's this fancy section of grooming supplies that you can use on your dog at home. And, you know, a used rain jacket. I don't know. So I'm like, how do I combine everything and, again, market it so it,
you can make it look nice.
It will end up being quirky and unique, probably, which is, I'm hoping, will draw in the right people.
I also have a vision. Well, I have a vision for how I want this to go. My vision is for this place that I have eventually to kind of have this, like, old tavern feel to it. So, like, you walk in and it feels almost old-fashioned. And it's just, I don't know why tavern is the look I'm going for, but that's what it is in my head. And I want one of those, like, ye olde bar signs hanging out the window, like the wooden signs, you know?
Yep.
And I'm going to call it the Green Thimble.
See, that's lovely. I've been envisioning a coffee bar, coffee shop. So I want to get a sign made for all of my grooming services that looks like the chalkboard sign you'd see if you walked into a cafe, mm-hmm. with their A-frame specials board right as you walk in the door. Mm-hmm. And then a lot of those little quirky places do have a retail section that is usually unique items that you wouldn't see, you know, in the typical box stores, or wouldn't bring all together in the typical box stores, I guess, in one section. And it's fun and unique. And so that's kind of the vision I'm going for, I think, is going to be this sort of cafe coffee bar look with pet grooming and pet supplies. So I've been Pinteresting quite heavily. But so I think if the shelves look a certain way and there's like a few plants growing amongst the things and I don't overcrowd it like a lot of thrift stores do, mm-hmm. I think it could go over very well.
Yeah, and with you, like, you're business focus is the grooming. So you don't even have to rely on that part of it. It's just anything from that is gravy, right?
Right. Yes, basically.
And in my case, it would be that way too. Like I could do the sewing machine servicing and that would be like the main focus or the main thing that pays the bills. And then anything else is kind of gravy because people are coming in for that.
Yeah.
I don't know if a themed thrift store alone would be enough because it would be so niche, but I think it's a good additive to a business to have that option. Like, I don't think that the thrift store, like, I don't even want to call it that now. Like, the secondhand section doesn't have to be, like, it doesn't have to be a whole secondhand business, the whole thing. But even if we just can incorporate secondhand items as part of a store that, whatever they sell, right? So if they sell kitchen appliances, they can have a section of kitchen appliances that are secondhand that they sell as well. I just feel like there should be that option.
Yeah. And I mean, I suppose people will argue that there is that option. It's just not all convenient in one location, which is kind of where you and I are going with this. It's how do we bring these things together? So yes, people are going to need new washing machines, but you know, if we know that there are properly refurbished washing machines, I mean, they do it with cars all the time, right? So
right.
You have your new cars and there's their used section. Again, see, it's out there. We don't think about it. Like themed thrift stores. Cars are a good example.
Cars are like the only example.
And women's clothing, apparently.
Oh, don't even get me started on clothing. Don't even want to get started on that. But I just feel like this is like the future.
A second paw shop.
Oh, instead of secondhand. Oh. This is the second paw section. Oh, it's so cute.
Super cute, but hey, like you said, it's all in the wording, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just marketing. You can market this different ways too. So when are you starting your second paw thrift store?
I've started purchasing a few things. Some of them are like new, but mostly
I hear
like
the puppies in the background.
Oh, yes, they are. They are making squeak. One's probably lost, trying to find its way back to Nella. Now I lost my train of thought. Where was I? Right. So, yeah, I found items. Like, while I'm in a thrift store, I'll look for things. I've also been checking, you know, Marketplace and other things. And even looking at what I have, I'm like, what do I have that I don't use anymore? And I'm like, okay, you know, that's something I can put in there. And I, at this point, I'm just trying to build stock because I feel like if I don't have stock to start with or enough of it, I can't just put out a bin and be like, hey, give me your free stuff. Because I think once people see what I'm doing with it, then I will get more donations or, you know, cheap consignment or whatever I find. I think it'll start to snowball, but I think I need a starting point. So that's kind of what I've been doing, is just looking for things to start filling the shelves. And that has included a few new items as well, which is counterproductive to what I'm trying to do. But I've been at this point, again, just trying to like, how do I build stock? How do I find items? Which is not my end goal by any stretch, but I'm hoping that it starts to get the ball rolling in the right direction. So I'm just at this point keeping my eyes peeled for good deals, preferably used, occasionally new. And then once I have that store set up and that marketing in place, then it will be, you know, strictly quality used item.
Oh, I'm excited. At this point, I'm going to start online, and I don't think I honestly don't think that's the best way to go, but I don't have a space. Like, you already have a space. I don't have a space. So I'm just going to start online and at least have something and then see where it goes. And if an opportunity for space appears, then we can shift gears. And that is eventually the goal, to have an actual location. But I can't do that right now.
No, but again, baby steps. Yeah. And you have the retail experience. You know how to do it.
Yeah. It's not like I haven't owned a store already. It's just right. I'll own a store in my own passion instead of yours.
But it got you the skills that you need.
Yes.
And slowly pushed you in the right direction.
Yeah. So. Do you ever like stop and just think like everything that I've done up to this point has led me to where I am, and where I am is pretty good. So even those things that I may not have been my first choice, it's got me here, and that's okay. I'm having a good day today.
That's good. No, and I value those experiences, right? Like sometimes I just feel like my life is hectic and chaotic and I'm not living the dream life I thought I would. But again, when I think about the fact that I can open a thrift store for pets just because I'm already paying the rent, I've already done all that, it's going to be just for something new and exciting and an opportunity to do a little bit of good in this world through what I already know. You know, I wouldn't be able to do that without having run a business for so long, without everything else involved. So there's lots of things that I am very grateful for that have got me to this point.
To this secondhand store opening point in our lives.
Yes, at least the idea, the basis. But I feel like I'm actually at least building a foundation, whereas I'm not just dreaming about it. I mean, it's barely, there's not even a layer of bricks on the ground, but at least it's started and I feel confident that I can grow it. Yeah, I did have some fears and some worries about people not, if they, again, see that it's secondhand, not wanting to pay me enough to warrant it or to be able to mark up things enough from what I can get them for, again, because I don't know how big the free donation stuff is going to be, but you never know. It might snowball. It might become a big thing. People might be really happy to have a place where, you know, when they're old friend passes away to be able to bring their stuff and know mm-hmm. that it's like, I'm not the only one out there that gets that joy from used items. So.
Yeah. No, I think, and yeah, I would feel much better taking my stuff somewhere where it was specifically appreciated and not just a store of everything.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's kind of how it goes because I don't want to lie to the public and make them feel like all of their donations are going to charity and, you know, because it's not. I want to make sure that what I do benefit from it can somehow benefit the community even more in some way. And I haven't quite figured out exactly what that's going to look like, but I know it'll come to me when it comes. I just feel like regardless, you know, just giving people that fun experience of the mystery of what might they find today and, or knowing again, just where, you know, instead of having to scroll the internet for hours on end to try to find a kennel that may look better in pictures than in person or whatever it might be, to be able to just walk into a place and know you don't have to pay retail price for something that just shipped from China.
The joys. All right. Well, thank you so much. For, you know, this, like, great minds think of, like, idea that we both came up with at the same time, but differently. Thanks for coming on and chatting about it.
No problem. I'm excited. I've also considered just putting some items from local craftsmen. You know, there's a lot of people that make pet items, and they try to market online, and how nice would it be to have a place to display your stuff? So I might even do that. That'll help the community and the local market and help artisans get more creative. And so, yeah, I'm excited for the possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that a lot. And I can hear your puppies in the background. They're so cute.
Yes. Brand new baby puppies. I should probably go see why they're crying. So
again, thank you for coming and chatting with me today. Thank you to all of our listeners who tune in and to our patrons who support our waste reduction efforts of Waste Free Edmonton through Patreon and wastefree.ca. Thank you to Change Toothpaste who sponsor this podcast and make it possible to do because we are all volunteers here, but podcasting is not free. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at becominglesspod@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at becominglesspod, or you can go to wastefree.ca/becominglesspod for all the ways to connect and listen. Until next time, we can all be a little less than we were yesterday.
Why would Jane Goodall want to be commemorated in plastic, in a Jane Goodall commemorative set of Lego?